Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online as Jenny touches the microphone as we're trying to do the show.
All right.
So what was that ghost fart yesterday?
I don't know. I still don't know.
You're going to take that one to your grave.
I'm not worried about it.
I don't think it was you.
It was not me.
I know.
God. No, I don't know what it was.
It was bizarre. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email me your audio file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. Greatly appreciate that. And of course, always helps us when you press subscribe on whatever platform it is you're listening on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, you name it. Doing that and leaving those positive reviews also helps us grow the show as well, especially as we're beginning to enter into Halloween season. Folks start looking for ghost stories, and the higher up there in those rankings we can be, the more folks will find us, the more stories we will get, and the better show that we can create for you guys. So every little thing you can do to help us make this thing work is greatly appreciated. 855-853-4802, our phone number, like I said. I'm getting a weird vibe from my microphone. I don't know what it is.
A weird vibe?
Well, and not like ghostly vibe, but I'm just getting like, I can pick up on when my voice is not quite sounding correct through it.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if this mic is like on its last leg or something. And if that has anything to do with, I don't know how it made a fart sound yesterday, but I'm wondering if that has anything to do with some of the weird audio things that I've been hearing.
Maybe.
I don't know. When mics go bad, and I've had it happen like once in a studio setting at a radio station, it was years ago, they do weird things and you can get kind of weird sounds out of them and such.
Okay.
And this one, I don't know. I had this for like 10 years or so. So I don't know. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah.
Might be time for a new microphone. I don't know. I can hear the tone of my voice, not all the time, but every once in a while, depending on where I am around this microphone, it's not where it used to be.
Your ears are so good because I can't pick up on that at all.
Either that or my voice is changing again and we're going to have a little puberty going on and
oh, fun.
And get hair in places that I didn't expect it.
Yay.
Things of that nature. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. This is Jesse. I called a couple days ago thanking you for playing my story about a year and a half ago in February of 2016. I think the title's called Family Secret or Secret, something like that. And you were just playing my story about the dreams I had about my dad, my mom's dreams. So I called to say thank you. And I was pretty discouraged that day. And I'm going to be honest with everybody right now. I kind of had some stuff going on that's interesting. I think it is. And I got a question, too. But I've been having some serious, you know, what's the best way to put this? Thoughts that are going to be very self-harmful, you know, and it's like overwhelmingly bad. And finally, I've said before I'm a Christian, and I had this epiphany. I just had this overwhelming feeling in my soul about just taking it all away, just end it all, you're not worth it. And finally, this voice in my head said, you know, you're really close to God's plan for your life, and you're just going to throw it all away. And I got super angry. I'm like, those little bastards, demonic bastards, are trying to get me to end it right before things get good. And I don't know if they are soon. I mean, it's all God's timing. But at the same time, it's like, this is their plan to try to take me down. So I just got furious and started using the name of Jesus. And I got a name. I'm not going to say it, but I said the name and the name, you know, I said the name of Jesus Christ, this blank will be banished from me and not no longer torment me and, you know, go away. And I said it more ferocity than I am now. And I finally felt, for like a week, I felt been feeling these feelings. I just felt this pure joy and contentness and happiness come from my heart. And all the burdens I'm facing with right now, just were like, God's got under control. And that was really good for me. I didn't see this thing. I just felt it around me. I'm not sure if you ever felt demonic presence before. I felt quite a few of them before in my life. And, you know, when you're around one, you just feel dread around you all the time. And when you're being oppressed by one, you just feel like this black hole in your heart and just sucking and absorbing all the good positive energy out of your life and any willingness to be you. The philosophy or theology in Christianity is once you accept Christ, he's in your soul and a demonic presence cannot enter that soul. But if oppression, which is demonic entity, you know, messing with you on the outside, they can do that, and they definitely try to do that with me. But anyway, you know, I did some serious praying here for, you know, people, you know, I love, people in my life. People I even have a hard time accepting their existence. Praying for those folks, too. And a couple other demonic names came into my head, and for a couple individuals that are struggling with some stuff. And, again, just banish those names. But here's the thing. Like, I get the names, and they're scrambled for a little bit and finally kind of come up. I research the names, and they don't pop up. And, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how true, like, some of the demonic names in demonology are. I don't know how accurate that is. I don't know where those sources even come from. I mean, the history is kind of weird of where the information comes from. And I don't know if you guys have any ideas on the – I don't want to go too in-depth of studying demons. I mean, I don't want to – all the heck, I'm kind of a demonic supernatural magnet. I just pull stuff to my life anyway, so it doesn't matter what I do, they show up anyway. So I guess it doesn't matter. But still, you know, I guess I want to find validity. I mean, the first one, I felt a lot better, and I don't think it's a subconscious thing. I mean, you literally felt like this negative shroud surrounding my body just go away, you know, as myself again. So I don't think it's a subconscious thing. I don't think it's some of my mind's making up to make you feel better. I think it was a real entity, but I can't find the name. And I don't know if you guys want me to email you the names I got. None of them really match up, but, you know, Bible says the devil took out or took with him third of the angels of heaven with him. So I doubt it was just a few hundred angels, probably a few million. Who knows? So anyway, yeah, I guess just want your guys' thoughts. I mean, just because I can't find the name, I guess doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So, or listed, I guess. So, anyway, I just thought I'd share that. If anyone's going through this crap right now, you know, if you're a Christian, Jesus got under control. If you're not, well, I mean, whatever works for you, I guess. You know, I mean, I'm not sure what other faiths do to get rid of demonic entities, but don't give up. There's always a solution to it, you know. So, anyway. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the show. I'm really enjoying it. I love every episode. I think they're fantastic. And, yeah, keep up the great work, guys. Appreciate it.
I don't know about you, but I know with me, you know, even if you emailed me the list of names, if you researched it and couldn't find anything, I don't have any magic source that is going to allow me to find anything either.
I do right here. It's called Tony's Giant Book of Demon Names. And for $9.95, you can have your own copy of Tony's Giant. And we're going to, I'm kidding.
No.
No. No, I mean, and I don't think that knowing it really is any sort of help in what's going on. Obviously, you know, it sounds like there are some things that were seriously troubling you. And I'm happy that you found a way and something that worked for you to feel better and to kind of move forward in your life and didn't get bogged down with it. You know, with any of this, and we talk about this quite a bit on the show, you know, some of these things seem to work together sometimes, and it's not always just demons. There's certainly, you know, mental illness out there and issues that people go through and suffer. And sometimes it makes them then a target for other things.
Yeah.
To come in and you know, plague them even more. So, you know, he was asking for, you know, advice and thoughts and everything. Of course, anytime you're feeling like that of self-harm or extreme depression, things of that nature, if your religion and stuff can get you to where you are getting better, great. But certainly, seeking help of some sort that's going to work for you. Just make sure whatever you're seeking is getting you from point A to point B.
Right.
Of feeling better. And not just, relying on whatever it may be. If something's not working, try something else.
I do find it interesting though, that he was able to come up with names.
Yeah, that is an interesting part of it. But it's also interesting that nothing's showing up on it. But of course, if you've ever like heard like demon names before and stuff,
they're weird.
Good luck ever trying to spell them.
Yeah,
there's been like some movies out there that have had like demon names in them, mm-hmm. and they actually used real demon names. And then what you hear on screen when it's being said, and then what the subtitles are saying and how it's spelled, usually fairly different.
Yeah.
So it's not, I think, a very easy thing to be looking up, if you will, mm-hmm. if you're just kind of picking up on certain names, if you will. So thank you for the call, and thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Joanna calling back from Reading, Pennsylvania. I'm going to try and record my story again because I got cut off. I was listening to the recent podcast of a gentleman called in, Jeremiah, from Allentown, which is kind of near me, in general area of Pennsylvania. And it reminded me of a situation that happened to me, I'm going to say 10 years ago, that I totally forgot about. I have a long commute from Reading to Philadelphia, and at the time I was commuting from Pottstown to Philadelphia down a stretch of road called 422. Very dangerous road. There's a lot of accidents. People just, I don't know, they just don't know how to drive in that area. I have no idea why, but when I leave in the morning, it's dark and not that many people on the road, some, but you know, that when I'm first leaving in the morning, it's pretty quiet. And that morning I was driving down 422 and there happens to be a major underpass of another highway going under 422. And I was approaching that intersection. It's a really bad on-ramp, you know, it's a very short ramp and it's generally not very safe because people just fly up the ramp and they try and merge and it's bad. But anyway, I saw behind me there was an SUV, a black SUV, and I didn't think anything of it, and I just saw the headlights in my rear view, and I just happened to look back to my rear view mirror again, thinking, you know, maybe he's going to take an exit or something like that. I'm not sure why I looked back, but I just saw the car literally drive off the road. Like, there was no exit there, and he just drove off where the underpass goes, almost as if, you know, they lost control of the car or something, but it just, like, went over the underpass, you know, it just went off the road down onto the, I assume, down onto the road below. And I just thought, oh my God, what did I just see? Like, I just saw something, like this guy just, you know, or girl just got into an accident and, you know, probably really bad. So I didn't really know what to do. I didn't call 911 because I wasn't sure what I just saw. I just wasn't sure. And although I was pretty sure I saw them go off the roof. So I get to work and I text my now ex-husband. And I tell him what I saw, and he couldn't explain it. I mean, he does believe in ghosts because he's seen, partial apparitions before. And he had no explanation for it, of course. But that was just something I totally forgot about. And I thought at the time when I saw it happen, I thought, oh, my God, I'm crazy. Something, like, I don't know what I just saw. But now I'm hearing Jeremiah's story, and I've heard other stories of people on the show saying that they had cars following them, and they were there, and then they were gone. So there's that one. Then I had another story where I just found out recently, I moved a year ago to a farm, 12-acre farm, and my home was built in the 1950s. Hasn't been updated or anything since then, but we bought it for, you know, the prospect of land and, you know, we'll fix up the house, whatever. It was a great opportunity, very affordable. So we moved in last July, and it's probably day number one or two when we're, you know, moving everything in. The door's open because we're moving things in and out. And I was out back with my husband and a couple of our friends that were helping us move. And this woman just, you know, showed up in the backyard. And I thought, oh, okay, my husband must have left her in or something. You know, I guess he went around back into the house and I didn't notice and left her in. And she started asking us all these weird questions about how much we paid for the house, this, that, and the other thing. And she said that she informed us that she was our neighbor. And she was strange. She was, you know, it was hard to have a conversation with her. Like, she wasn't all there in the head, sort of. So I didn't really think much of it. And later on that day, I said, did you let her in? To my husband. And he was like, no, I thought you let her in. So we're like, all right, that's interesting, I guess, because we live on a farm now. That's just the way things are out here. People don't really, you know, they let themselves in. I guess they just feel comfortable doing that. So we just didn't really think too much of it. And then recently, one of my husband's very good friends, he is a medium. He's actually helped police cases and things like that, documented cases in the Reading area, and helped solve, you know, murders and things like that. And he doesn't really like to talk about it. He is at the point in his life now where he'd rather not tell people about it, and he doesn't offer anything. If he sees something, he doesn't tell anyone unless they ask, because people, you know, they don't really take it too well sometimes, especially if they don't believe in the paranormal. And interestingly, the other day, I don't know how this came up, but I asked him, or maybe my husband asked him, if he had seen anything in our house. And the reason that he asked that is because one night we were laying in bed and we decided to put a fan in the hallway. I don't know, because the air was, we didn't really have the air on, but it was a little bit hot. And for whatever reason, that night I kept feeling like there was somebody staring at me while I was sleeping. Like, I could not stay asleep, and I would wake up and just look right into the hallway. Like, somebody was there. And my husband, that night, his back was bothering him, and he went to lay down on the couch in the living room. He has a bad back. And he said he heard somebody whisper something in his ear that night, and apparently he heard, "You're gonna die." So that was really crazy. And so I asked Walt, you know, did you ever hear anything in our, or see anything in our house? And he shared then with me that there were three spirits there the day that we moved in. One was the spirit of the neighbor's, the crazy neighbor's father. And he apparently said, "I'm here to apologize for her behavior," because I guess this was something that he had seen before or knew about, that she was like this. And then he said to Walt, "Don't let the local farmers lowball you, you know, lowball these guys on the land," because I guess what happens is all the local farmers kind of stick together, and, you know, we're trying to find a farmer that will, you know, cut the hay on our land. And, you know, we basically, they rent that land from us. And so that was interesting, because that was actually something that was a problem, I guess, back in the day when the previous owners lived there. And then the other woman spirit that was there said something about the coat closet in the living room, that it had to be reinforced because in the wintertime all of the coats are too heavy and it doesn't hold, you know, all the coats, and complaining about how small all the closets were in the house and that, you know, they always get jammed full. And it, I guess she just was complaining about the size of the closets. So I'm guessing that's somebody that used to live there. And then the third spirit he said was also female was one of my relatives. And when I asked him about this, he said that it was a distant aunt or something like that. And her name started maybe with a C, like it was Candy or Candace or something. And I was like, no, I couldn't think of anybody that I was related to with that name. I did have an Aunt Anna, distant relation, who used to visit a lot when I was younger. And so I said, could it be her? And he said, no, that it wasn't Aunt Anna. Aunt Anna said to him that I have seen her at my apartment, the apartment I lived in before I met my husband, but out of the corner of my eye, and then I didn't really see her, but I saw something, like I knew she was there, something along those lines. So I have no idea. I don't remember that. But anyway, I just wanted to share that story. I thought it was interesting, you know, having somebody be a medium telling me about spirits that were in my house. It didn't scare me or anything, and I've asked him, have you seen any since then? And he said no, so that was good enough for me. So I just wanted to share. I've become an EPP since I called in last, and just wanted to thank you guys for doing what you do, and I'm still very happy with my commute into work listening to you, and it keeps me occupied. So take care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Do you think ghosts decide when you move into a house if they're going to stay or if they're going to move out?
If they have the ability to.
Yeah.
Unless they're, like, stuck at some location.
It's just interesting. It's like there was this whole little welcoming committee on the other side that was there for various reasons.
I think it's interesting where it's like, well, no, it's not that person because that person just told me it's not them that's doing, you know. It's like, so they're all there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to leave and have a message like, well, it's not that person because that person's here and they said, stop bothering me. I'm too busy being dead. Yeah. I think that's kind of my attitude. It's like, stop. I'm dead. Piece the clues together to answer your questions. Take the little decoder ring that I'm going to leave with secret messages on for everybody.
Uh-huh.
That's how it's going to be. It's going to be a little Orphan Annie one. It'll be great fun. Then I'll have like little recorded messages that you can access at certain times in their lives. And then they have to, it'll be like an escape room.
You know, I was just thinking, how obnoxious would it have to be for the medium, their friend? Mm-hmm. You know, here he's trying to help them move in, and then there's these three random people that he's the only one that can deal with them.
Yeah.
And one's just wandering around complaining about the closet size.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be so funny if that were like a TV show.
I think it has been actually
you
before.
Think so?
There was one on in the 90s, and it's the one I forgot what it was called. It was around the time that there was a TV show. Because I remember this because I remember the promos, like, on an all-new this, and then on that. And the first promo was for the show where Dan Aykroyd was a preacher. Mm-hmm. And then, like, and then on an all-new Ghosts in My House, or whatever the hell it was.
Okay.
It was like a family that they were living their normal life, but there was the ghosts around the house, but the ghosts were just regular actors that were, you know, the premise was they're just screwing with people, but they can't see them. So they're like knocking stuff over, and mm-hmm. I forgot what it was called. I don't think it lasted more than one season.
No.
But it seemed like a fun concept.
Yeah.
You know, or it's just like it's from the other perspective. It was more so shot from the perspective of the ghosts, and the people just are incidentally living their very boring life, and the ghosts are doing all sorts of shit to them.
I think you've told us about that before,
yeah.
But...
I don't know if anyone has ever, you know, everybody chimes in on all the random shows that I talk about. Like, I'll say something very random and like, oh, I know exactly what that is.
Well, and I know there was that show Medium that was around forever. Uh-huh. But that was more dark. It wasn't very funny.
Yeah. I never saw it.
She was solving cases and stuff, which is important. But I was just thinking the random people that you would have around. Almost like Seinfeld Paranormal.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a comedy. That one I remember. I just don't remember what it was called. I think ABC is what it was on. If anyone wants to chime in on what that show was, it'd be fun to see that again. Just to see if it was anywhere remotely as funny as I remember the previews being.
Sure.
I could be like, watching it now going, oh, God. Well, I understood why I thought that was funny when I was eight. You know, something like that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Chris, Steve. I just wanted to call in and tell you about an experience of mine. I've been listening for probably about a month now, trying to catch up. But my story takes place about when I was around 15 years old, and it was me, my brother, my sister, and my stepbrother at the time, and my mom and her husband were offered the opportunity to take care of a property and turn it into a bed and breakfast up in the mountains. So a very ideal looking place, the place was set up perfectly for it. The area was beautiful, and just to kind of give you an idea of the layout of this place, if you walked in and you turned to the right, there was this little area with a fireplace, and then a chapel behind that, and then right in front of you was the kitchen, and then to the left was a study area that led into the bedroom. And all the bedrooms were lined up, one right after another. If you sit at the doorway and all the doors were open, you could look down the hallway and see each day. So my parents had this opportunity given to them by a friend whose relative owned this place. And so our job was to help them get it ready during that summer. And I had not been there as long as my brother and my sister had, so they'll probably have more stories than I could ever tell you. But this place was just very creepy. From the outside looking in, it was very nice. It was very ideal for a bed and breakfast. But once you got inside, you could just really tell that there was something that just was not nice. It was not a nice presence. The background and history of some of this stuff was just very creepy. The relative that had owned this place beforehand was an older woman who was just not, she was not a nice person. From what I had gathered, she had several dogs that were just in very poor health that would drag themselves along the corners of the house, leaving trails of fur. We had to clean lots and lots of fur up off the corners of the walls because they would just rub themselves up against it, not really sure what was wrong with them. But once they passed away, she would have them buried in the back. And being in the mountains, there were a lot of wild animals, particularly bears would come, and they would dig up these bodies, which disturbed these graves, which just added to the environment and the feeling that you got from this house. So my brother and my sister and I were just kind of being kids, walking around, looking at this property. It was the first time I had been there, kind of helping around. And if you walked into the chapel area, you just got this really, really creepy just vibe. And we were really into, like, the paranormal and just very interested in that type of stuff from a young age. So for us, it was just an interesting place to be and explore. And this property just sat really abandoned. I'm not sure what happened to the lady, but if you walked into the chapel, you could see there was dust everywhere. The pews were all dirty, but everything just looked very, very old. And it was just a very creepy sense that you got when you walked into this area. And I never really wanted to go back into that area once I had been there. So I tried to avoid the chapel as much as possible. There were a couple of different buildings that were around this house where it just seemed like as stuff collected within the house, everything just got piled into these older buildings. And then these buildings just ended up decaying and everything got destroyed. And so we would have to go through these buildings and see what we could find that was salvageable. There was a lot of old things, just very old cars, just very old materials. So I'm sure there was a lot of just items that had some energy left along with them. In addition to this, the presence of this older lady being in this house and these dogs whose graves had been disturbed. So the first night that I'm sleeping, I am told that I could sleep in one of the rooms that was to be turned into a bed and breakfast. And so I got to sleep in the room that was closest to the house. There were three of them. And as I said, you could look down the hall into each one of the rooms if each one of the doors was open. And each one of the rooms had a window that would peer out to the backyard. And the backyard wasn't very lit. Like I said, this was the mountains, so there wasn't a whole lot of lighting that would light up the backyard. So I stay in this room. And I've always kind of felt as though that I could sense things, not that I am sensitive, but just that I can sense whenever something is around, a little more than somebody else could. So I'm in this room, and not sure if it was just the power of persuasion that got me just really creeped out, or if it was just my imagination. I've experienced sleep paralysis times before, and it always freaks me out every single time that I do. But this is probably the second time that I could remember it from a younger age. And I'm sleeping in this room. It's pitch black. As you can imagine, being a teenager, this is a paranormal. You kind of just build yourself up thinking of all the creepy stuff that could happen. And I'm sleeping in this bed, and the bed is facing the door that leads to the other rooms. In all of these rooms, the doors are open because we have painted them all. We wanted all of the rooms to be able to air out, and my room was the last one that was going to be painted that I was sleeping in. So all these doors are open, and I'm sleeping in pitch black. My brother and sister and my mom and her husband are all sleeping in the main house because they had been sleeping there for the whole summer, and I'm either in the middle of falling asleep, I've already been asleep, I'm not quite sure exactly what it was, but all of a sudden, I can feel that sleep paralysis take hold. And every time that I felt the sleep paralysis take hold, something always takes over me in the sense that I am absolutely fearful. There, I feel like something is in the room with me. I feel as though something is happening, and this happens almost every single time that I have sleep paralysis, and I've only had it a few times. But every single time has been this absolute, just overwhelming sense of fear. Not because I can't move, but because of how dark the room gets when I am in this state. So the room is already pretty dark, and I get this feeling I'm laying in bed and I can't move. And the light is shining through, it's the moon, it's coming through the window, and it's shining onto the bed, and I am able to clearly, but everything else is just pitch black. And I get this overwhelming fear that someone is in the room with me. And this fear lingers, and then it goes away, and I go back to sleep. And since then, I didn't want to go back to the house. I didn't want to stay there for very long. Like I said, I avoided the chapel as much as possible, and it just seemed like everywhere that you went in this house when it was dark was just this overwhelming sense of just fear that something was watching you, something was following you, something was there. After a while, we ended up not being there. It ended up being a situation where it didn't work out. I don't know if there was a problem with the construction of this place or what was going on, but a lot of really bad things ended up happening after that. There were a lot of personal issues that took place. There were a lot of issues that happened within my family. There were a lot of issues that happened with the relative that was trying to get this bed and breakfast going. And I'm not sure if it was just the place itself or it was just during that time period that there were a lot of negative things that were going on in people's lives, but I do attribute a lot of negative just behavior and attitudes that blossomed from that experience being attributed to the house, because we've got pets that have been disturbed that haven't been taken care of very well during their life, and then after their death, they're not taken care of well. And then this woman that just absolutely was mean. I mean, I can't get the full story about what was wrong with her, but she was just not a very nice person. And you could just really feel that. And I think just being there, changing things around, adding paint to the walls, moving things about, whatever energy was there just didn't like us being there. There were a lot of times when we would hear things and we couldn't explain it. There were times when I would think that I saw something out in the backyard and then he wasn't there. I had a lot of just negative dreams about this place, about my family, and just out-of-body experiences that took place. And just overall, it was just a very negative feeling. So once we were able to get away from it, and a lot of people kind of went through their phases and went through everything that went went on in their own personal lives, I think that that really helped to get further and further away from this place and this location. And it was a good thing that it was so far away up in the mountains. It wasn't somewhere that we would just pass on a regular basis where we could be reintroduced to that negative energy. I'm sorry my story kind of rambled on, but I just kind of wanted to get it all out there and just give you guys a taste of what I had experienced. I'll try to see if I can get my siblings to give me some more information about their experiences and try to pass that along to you guys. But I love your show. Really excited to have found you guys. Hoping to become an EVP soon. But just wanted to share my story. So thank you for listening. Bye.
You know, I've talked about, I think fear is one of the most lingering negative energies that there is.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, the way she talked about the animals that weren't taken care of and kind of just haphazardly buried and stuff, how much fear they must have had during their life. I wonder how much that would linger as well.
I think there's probably a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And that's enough just to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And even if it's not necessarily, you know, the dark entity breaking into your room at night or anything like that, but just the nervous fear energy, you know, and then others feeding off of it if they're empathic or sensitive in any way.
Right.
Shape or form, which it sounds like she is somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So, what a creepy experience.
Oh, my gosh.
Makes you really like the idea of getting a B&B.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be creepy. I've heard from people, I mean, I'm sure there's some folks out there who absolutely love that, and it's their the best thing they've ever done. But I've heard from people before, too, where it's like, oh, we thought it was this great idea. It was the worst job we've ever had in our lives, and we got rid of it so quickly.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be just the right person. But, you mm-hmm. know, most B&Bs are in old historic
sure.
settings. So, you know, how much of it is that going along with mm-hmm. it? You know, taking care of an old house and then taking care yeah. of people staying in your old house.
Yeah. And then when they're not happy with what's going on with the house being old, mm-hmm. Not even take haunting out of the equation. Put plumbing in, you know,
right.
or whatever else may be going wrong. And then just dealing with all the various types of individuals that you're going to see. Some completely pleasant and wonderful guests. Some people, you know, they're on a mission to make others' lives miserable, you know, when they're out there, especially in the service industry.
Sure.
And it's one of those things I thought about when I thought years ago about getting into like food and cooking and thought about like being a chef or something. And explored that a little bit. And it's one of those things like from a distance, oh, fun, cooking, you know, I enjoy mm-hmm. doing that. And then I went to the culinary school for a little bit while I was still working in radio. I was just like, yeah, this should be horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and horrible for me. I shouldn't say it's a horrible job because I think for the right person and the right life, it could be wonderful. And it is for many people, but not for me.
It has to be your end-all passion.
It does. I mean, it really, I mean, and there's like different levels of passion of on things, mm-hmm. you know, on topics. And I guess, you know, that just, it wasn't quite there. Hobby, yes, but like end-all, no.
Yeah.
And something like that sometimes, I mean, that almost like has to, especially, I think, careers that completely, you know, pull you away from like normal hours of life
or social
yeah
anything
yeah or family or things like that you know you can be really driven with it and if that works for you and it works for your family great but I thought like gosh if I'm ever gonna have like a family or anything it's like I'd be working every night and
it'd be hard
yeah it would not be for me but for some that works out great
mm-hmm.
It's just you know it's an individual preference thing 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Here we go. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Steve. I've been listening to your show for quite some time now, and I'm actually catching up right now. I'm binge-watching while I'm doing some of my work at the local dealership that I work at. So there may be some background noise and some wind, and I apologize for that. But I just heard a story about astral projection, and it made me remember a time when I was a teenager. It was it was actually quite interesting to me. I've never really told anybody this story, and I've often wondered what it really was, whether I was just dreaming or whether it actually happened. I actually believe it did happen personally. So, well, here it goes. When I was a teenager, I used to smoke cannabis on the regular, And it started out recreational, and then I became a habitual smoker. And one night before going to bed, I had smoked a small amount just to relax so I could clear my head and go to sleep, as I had problems sleeping as a teenager. And when I fell asleep, I had a vivid dream, very vivid. I remember it so clearly as if it happened yesterday, and this is 15 years ago. I woke up floating above myself in my room. It was quite interesting, actually. And I looked down upon myself sleeping in the position I normally slept in, and my feet hovered down to the ground and started walking. Went downstairs into my kitchen as I was feeling rather parched. I reached up, I got a glass out of the cabinet. I filled the glass up with water at the refrigerator. I started drinking the water, walked myself back upstairs, and then looked upon myself sleeping again and thought, hey, that's strange. I'm sleeping, but I'm drinking water. I set the glass down on my nightstand right next to me and then jumped up in the air and fell back into my being. And then I woke up the next morning, and there was a half-drank glass of water next to me on my nightstand. It was the same glass that I had gotten in the dream or the projection, and then I was like, well, that's awful strange. I know I did not walk downstairs last night to get a drink of water before I went to sleep. And so that's my story. Whether it happened or not is beyond me, and whether I did it in the physical world or whether my I actually had an astral projection where I could manipulate objects happened, I couldn't tell you. It may, of course, been the influence of the cannabis, and I really did wake up and walk downstairs, or who knows, it could have been something different, because I have noticed that when I was on it, I had more sensitivity to paranormal activities, perhaps to relax the brain, or I'm not sure. It put me more at ease. I have ADD, ADHD real bad, and it kept my brain from jumping around like a crazy squirrel. I actually could concentrate better, and I tend to notice things. I can feel people's energy more, and I've had a couple of paranormal experiences while under the influence of cannabis, but only light dosages, nothing major. But thought you'd find that interesting, and feel free to use this on the show. You guys do a great job. I really appreciate everything that you guys are about, and I really enjoy the show, and I plan on keeping up with it. Unfortunately, I can't become an EPP due to financial constraints, but maybe someday when my job gets a little bit better, my situation is better, I can, and I really hope to. Again, thank you very much. Have a great evening.
You know, there are some cultures that use mind-altering substance of choice, be it cannabis or something else, to tap into what they believe is an easier way to connect with the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, not surprising at all to me that you might think are having more paranormal activity when you are on that, and to not be, you know, hallucination or whatever, that it's just you maybe have opened yourself up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. It'll also be the first thing that people say to discredit you as well. It's like, were you drunk? Were you
right
on anything?
Right.
And I'm not saying that is, you know, the explanation then, but it's going to be the first thing someone's going to use to discredit it who's not believing in any of it.
Well, and somebody who does use it on a regular basis, they know themselves well enough to know how they're going to react and know what is and is not normal for them.
Sure, I agree. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. It's an interesting thought. We were talking to the dream state of did this actually happen or was this astral projection? It's hard to know. But again, it's kind of like what you just said. It's a personal thing where it's like you can tell if something's off.
Yeah.
Or something is a little more vivid or much more vivid than normal. Again, thank you for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Get yourself a bunk bed bill. If you sign up for a full year, get one of those months absolutely free as well. I just, during some of these calls, literally sealed up about 30 envelopes.
I watched you do it.
I even dropped a bell. on the ground and chased it as it rolled throughout the office. So anyway, get in on that at ghostpodcast.com and help us stay on the air and get access to all those bonus episodes at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.